How's your mental health? I'm listening with Luke Combs.
I am somebody who has struggled with anxiety a lot. A couple ways or tools, I guess you would say, to maintain my mental health is making myself aware to the things that I know I'm prone to. Information is key for things like that, and knowing what you're dealing with and how they operate. Being aware of the way your mind works in certain situations has been the most important thing for me.
More at imlistening.org. Talk saves lives.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me, I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brad, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
I've been great, Zach. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. So let's start you off with this Phillies team. I've been impressed. We know they can hit the long ball. You know what Nola and Wheeler are capable of. But all throughout the year, it just wasn't clicking. How dangerous is this team? And how, I don't know if I want to say fearful should the Braves be, because they've seen everything, but how much of a danger spot are the Braves in?
Well, I think they're definitely in a danger spot, because I think all of a sudden the Phillies are playing very differently than they did for most of the regular season, or at least, you know, until Rob Thompson took over. Now, you could argue that they've been a lot better, obviously, since Rob Thompson took over, and that's certainly true, but they've never been as healthy as they are right now. They've never played, you know, the small game as well as they're doing right now. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, Bryce hasn't been in there, and they haven't, you know, I think the bullpen has been in disarray for a lot this year. So it seems like everything is clicking on all cylinders right now. And if you look at the Phillies roster and you're going to tell me, hey, this team's also going to play great defense right now, which they hadn't done all year, then all of a sudden it's a very scary team capable really of beating anyone. Top to bottom, they have a great squad. They just haven't played whole and collectively like they are now the entire year.
Do you think maybe, and I know it could be a five-game series, but tonight determines who's going to win this series? Because if Atlanta ties it up at one apiece, you got to think eventually we'll see a game five in this series. But if the Phillies go up 2-0, I don't see how this gets to a game five, because you know the Philadelphia Phillies will find a way to win one on their home turf.
Yeah, I would agree. I think certainly if the Phillies go up 2-0, there should be no reason to suspect Atlanta could come back from that. That just doesn't happen, especially when the Phillies have, you know, great starting pitching. If the Braves win tonight, you know, buckle up. We're in for a five-game series for sure. And I don't think, you know, certainly, you know, the Braves will probably have an advantage in that, and probably most people would still favor the Braves. But I think at the end of the day, you know, you look at these two teams, and the way the Phillies are hitting right now, the Phillies always have the players they have in a really good offense. The Braves have an elite offense. But the Phillies starting rotation and the way it's pitching right now with Wheeler and Nola and Ranger Suarez, obviously tough to hit. They're pitching every bit as good as those great starters in Atlanta. So that means it's going to come down to the bullpens. And I think ultimately, yes, you would give an edge to the Atlanta Braves, of course, when it comes to the bullpens. Kenley Jansen's been throwing the ball really well, and the guys before him are great. You know, the Phillies are still mixing and matching, still trying to figure out if Zach Eflin is the answer in the ninth inning or not. I think he can be. I think he showed a lot of poise and kind of like whatever when Matt Olson hit that home run last night. He got right back on the mound and got the next guy out. So I think he's fine. But honestly, I think Sir Anthony Dominguez is the guy you'd want closing. But if he can throw two innings, then probably you're going to want him before Eflin. So long story short, the Phillies, their bullpen isn't quite as good as the Braves. That's just a fact. But it is throwing the ball well right now. I think if the Braves win tonight, they probably still are the favorites, yes.
Brad Lidge here with us. There's so many different ways to win in baseball, and I understand it could be a mixture of all the three things I'm about to say, but I'm just curious, what's the most important thing to have to win a championship? Because we've seen a team like the Royals win being contact timely hitters. This year, it seems like home runs is really what's winning, and then we've seen other years where teams just have dominant starting rotations.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, it depends on the nature of your team. You have to figure out what the nature of your team is, and then you have to maximize that. So sometimes it will be dominant bullpen. Sometimes it will be just dominant starting pitching. Other times you're just going to beat up on teams offensively. I think in the game today, you obviously have to have a great bullpen, because as the series progress, as you get to five games and then seven games, you start to see the other team's bullpen a lot. And if they're not great, out there, they're going to start to get exposed. That is the one kind of troubling thing about, you know, for the Phillies. In game one, they had to use all their high leverage guys to go out there and to stop the Braves. And so the Braves have already seen them one time. So that's going to make things a lot more difficult. But, you know, there's not, honestly, you've got to play great defense, of course. You got to have timely hitting. Those things are true regardless. But every team's identity kind of lets them know. You know, it's funny because we see, you know, maybe the Guardians are playing small ball. And if they go on and, you know, have a great postseason, next year everyone's going to want to, you know, revert back to small ball. But if a team that mashes wins, everybody next year is going to say, oh, you got to get the offense. In truth, it's just a matter of a team playing to their identity and playing and maximizing that.
Is this Dodgers-Padres series going to be Dodgers quickly, or does it maybe go longer than what people are thinking?
I think it's going to be the Dodgers quickly. I think the Padres did a hell of a job against the Mets, and that was fun. But at the end of the day, you're not beating the Dodgers. I do think the Dodgers get to Yu Darvish has been throwing great, but I just think the Dodgers will have his number. My guess is he's going to have a lot, a lot more of a difficult outing. And I just think that, honestly, the Dodgers lineup just doesn't stop firing top to bottom. They're just too good. And the bullpen is probably a lot better than people realize. Even if Craig Kimbrel isn't closing, they're still really tough to hit and they match up really well. And then ultimately they've got incredible starting pitching too. So they're, you know, that's why they are who they are. And I think the experience and the confidence they have in the postseason speaks for itself. So I think they'll dispatch with the Padres pretty quickly.
Brad Lidge here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Devastating loss yesterday for the Mariners, up 7-3. And then you had the Alvarez a walk-off home run. I feel like they're cooked, but I'm just curious, since you have a day off now, when you have a devastating loss like that, do you just want to get back on the field as quick as possible? Or maybe this day off, you go out for a nice dinner on the road with the guys, could actually help that team just clear their mind from game one?
Well, it might, but ultimately, I guarantee you for Robbie Ray and probably for Scott Servais too, they want to get back out there as soon as they can and right the ship. Nobody likes to have, you know, if you're pitching out of the bullpen or you don't do well or whatever the case, you want to get back out there. Well, hopefully you want to get back out there as soon as you possibly can and do a whole lot better. So I honestly, it would probably be better for Seattle to play tonight. It would probably be better for them to get right back out there. You know, it's funny, if Yordan Alvarez doesn't hit that home run, you know, the only thing we're talking about today is how Seattle's offense has just exploded in the postseason and they beat up anyone that goes out there, including the great Justin Verlander. But instead, we're not talking about that. It doesn't mean it's not still true. It's just that, obviously, the magnitude of that home run last night, you know, trumps everything. The Astros are going to be tough. They are absolutely the power in the AL, and I don't even think the Yankees are close to the Astros.
What would that series be? Assuming they meet up inevitably in the ALCS, Astros then in how many games?
I think the Astros take it in. They've got home field advantage. I think they take it in 5 or maybe 6.
When you look at the Yankees, I just want to get your thoughts on the Aroldis Chapman situation. So I guess he got the sense that he wasn't going to be on the roster, and then you don't show up for the mandatory workout. There's no way they could bring him back for the rest of the postseason, right?
No, I don't think you do. I really don't. I mean, we'll put it this way. If the bullpen throws, like, off, you know, terribly and they barely survive, then you consider it, of course. But if the bullpen throws the ball well, I think you just say thanks, but no thanks. I mean, honestly, his command and control issues in the high leverage situations for the Yanks this year and even prior to this year have always been a little bit troubling. You'd rather have him wanting to be out there. But if anybody is going to say, you know, they don't really care if they're, you know, if they can't guarantee they have a spot, they don't want to be there. You know, this Craig Kimbrel didn't get a spot either. And I guarantee you he's not doing the same thing Aroldis Chapman is out there in LA with the Dodgers. I was just so extremely disappointed with Aroldis Chapman, who, if he ever had a Hall of Fame case, has sealed the coffin on that. That will not happen now. And quite frankly, I don't see how any other team would want him on their squad either at this point going forward. So I think the Yankees did absolutely the right thing by leaving him off the roster, and it is just really, really disappointing.
It's just such a lack of respect for your teammates. Even if there was that case that you were going to be left off the roster, it's like, have respect for the other guys in the locker room.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the ultimate selfish move. You know, I kept waiting for something to break, like, you know, he got in trouble with some kind of authority or something happened with his family, just something that wouldn't make me think he was just so selfish. But at the end of the day, it's really troubling to see that. And even if he issues, you know, weak apology, whatever, like, it just doesn't matter anymore. You're right. It's about the other guys in the clubhouse. It is shocking to me that somebody could be so selfish this time of year. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. You leave the rest of the guys, your bullpen mates, hanging everything else. So, unfortunately, he got what's coming to him, and I can't see him getting back on that team.
Is Aaron Judge back with the Yankees next year, or does he go somewhere else?
I think he's back with the Yankees. I think, you know, he upped his salary quite a bit this year. But at the end of the day, two things are inevitably true. The Yankees understand, that front office understands how important he is for that team, for the fan base to come and watch. He can't go. There's nobody that can replace him. And I think Aaron Judge wants to be a Yankee. He wants to be a legend in that city the way Derek Jeter was. So you combine those two things, I think ultimately he goes back to the Yankees.
Last thing for you, Brad Lidge. Who's winning the World Series this year?
It's going to be the Dodgers and the Astros. I feel pretty confident saying that. I think it's going to go to seven games. I think the Dodgers win it this year. I think they do have home field advantage, and I think that will ultimately click into this thing. So I think the Dodgers win it in seven games in LA.
Does the cheating scandal matter anymore? Or, like, has everyone moved on from that and we've just realized, yes, the Astros haven't won a World Series again, but they show they could still be a damn good team still.
Well, I think that's part of it, right? Because when you're the Houston Astros and you continue to go out there and you're as good as you are year in and year out, it starts to dawn on people that, okay, yeah, they did that year, but actually they're just a super great, you know, a bunch of talented offensive players, and that maybe helped them on that year, but they're going to be there every year. I think it did make people move past it a lot quicker. If they weren't, you know, the same team or something like that, then that'd be different. But they just keep reloading and they keep playing great. And, you know, the front office and that organization have done an incredible job reloading. They're going to be great for like the next 5 years, or as far as we can see, they're going to have an incredible team and an incredible staff. So I don't see the Astros going anywhere. And I think as far as the cheating scandal goes, we'll remember it forever, but they've absorbed it and they moved on by playing great baseball continually. And that kind of silences everybody.
Brad Lidge, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, Zach, you bet. Have a good one.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Billie Eilish.
I feel like I spent a lot of time thinking about happiness and how it's just like it fluctuates, and everyone thinks if you're one thing, you're going to be that forever and you're never going to be anything else. And it's really not true. Like, happiness is temporary, but also so is like misery, and things just like morph and change. It just doesn't stay. It goes up and goes down and things change. And like, that's how life works.
Explore more at imlistening.org. How's your mental health? I'm listening with Luke Combs.
I am somebody who has struggled with anxiety a lot. A couple ways or tools, I guess you would say, to maintain my mental health is making myself aware to the things that I know I'm prone to. Information is key for things like that, and knowing what you're dealing with and how they operate. Being aware of the way your mind works in certain situations has been the most important thing for me.
More at imlistening.org. Talk saves lives.